anymore. Amen. Amen. And good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. God is good, isn't he? Yes. Do you love God? Are you thankful to God? Let's sing a song to God. I really love the Lord. Sing it if you mean it. Well, I really love the Lord. Oh, yes, and you don't know. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, he yes, and that's why I love, well, I love him. I really love he watches over me. And he watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over me. Oh, yes, and you don't know
what he's done for me.
Oh, yes, he thank you, Father. And that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love you. Amen. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're our honored guest. Thank you for blessing us with your presence here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. The elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Prayers go up for many who are not able to be with us this morning, who are sick or at home, who are in hospital beds and rehabilitation centers. Those that are bereaved this morning, we're praying with you and praying for you. Thank you for tuning in. If you're watching by way of television this morning or live stream, we do appreciate you watching. We hope we can say something that will minister to you. If you need prayer, if you need to talk to someone, please call a number on your screen, and we'd be more than happy to speak with you even today or this morning. I want you to meet with me in the book of Joshua, in the Old Testament this morning. The book of Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. I've entitled the lesson, The Promise Keeper. Promise Keeper, if you want a title. Then Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, go view the land. Joshua, the predecessor of Moses, who Moses passed the baton to, God didn't allow Moses to bring the children of Israel to the promised land. And he passed the baton to Joshua, said, be strong and of good courage. And Joshua leading the people. And he sends two spies, and some of you may remember Moses sent 12 spies to spy out the land. 10 came back with a bad report, an evil report. Two were faithful. Joshua was one of the two, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua was one of the two that gave a good report. Say we can. The land is ours. It flows with milk and honey. And they are preparing. They're preparing to go into the land. And he sends two spies, sends them to a city. The city of Shittim is the city that is the last encampment that the children of Israel have before they cross over the Jordan. I'm just giving you just a little history. Before they cross over the Jordan River on the other side. And he says, go view the land, especially Jericho. Especially view Jericho. Jericho would be the first major city that they would get to in the promised land. And it's a major, major city. And he says, so they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab. Many of you have heard of the name Rahab, and she was a harlot. Now, why they entered into her house I don't know exactly the reason why they entered there. The scripture goes out of the way to say she was a harlot. You know what a harlot is, don't most of you might know. It's a prostitute. Some of your translations may say prostitute. Rahab was a prostitute, and they entered into her house. Well, we'll know from reading on in a little bit that her house actually lie on the city wall, at Jericho. There have been many studies that have gone on about Jericho, and it was a fortified city, a city that had walls wide enough for houses to fit on. It's the city, we won't read all the history, that the children of Israel will end up walking around 6 days, and on the seventh day they walked around it, and the walls came tumbling down. We know the song. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Well, Rahab's house was on the wall. Perhaps that's why they stopped at her house. Well, because it would be inconspicuous, because they were really there and were trying not to be seen. So they stopped by the prostitute's house. Now, what they were doing in that prostitute house, the Bible don't say. And hopefully, I don't think it was anything unholy, as Joshua sent them there, but they did stop there. And the scripture said, and they lodged there. They lodged there. They stayed there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Now, it's amazing. They were there. They actually were foreigners. They're going to Jericho, and Jericho, the people of Jericho would be Canaanites, if you will. Surely wouldn't be Israelites. And, you know, you can tell most of the time if you've been anywhere a while when somebody new comes among you. It's like here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Now, those that's been here a while, been members a while, when you see somebody who you have not seen, then you do notice, don't you? Well, I mean, we're not nosy, but you notice somebody new comes among you. And that was no different with them. They came to the city, and the city definitely had a gate. You'll see that in a minute. And literally one gate, the gate that was open and closed at dawn. And so they came through the gate, and surely people say, it's like us when we're walking around. People see us. Sometimes we don't want people to see us. You can't walk nowhere and there are people and somebody don't see you. And so you can't hide from everybody, amen? Yeah, and so people saw them, especially when you know, foreigners look a little different. And we say foreigners. Sometimes, you know, we're not foreigners because we're from America, but when you go somewhere else, you're a foreigner. And you look different, and people notice you, you know, whether you're a different race, different color. So they notice the spies, and they sent to the king. And, you know, some people just knows anyway. You know, some people notice everybody. I have never seen her before, him before. And so, behold, it was told to the king of Jericho, saying, behold, you'll see one of the reasons why they definitely noticed in a minute. Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Now, not only did they see him, they knew who they were, but they knew where they were from. They knew where they were from. He said, they've come out to search out the land. How in the world did they know that? Listen to what else the Bible says. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who've come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. And so the king sends someone to Rahab. I don't know, maybe Rahab's prostitute house was kind of popular. But the king knew where to send them. The men knew where she lived. She lived on the house. It was a prostitute house, okay? And listen to what the Bible says. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She hid the men. So Rahab knew that the men were from Israel. And she hid the men because of some prior knowledge she had. You'll see in just a moment. Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. Now she's lying. She's not telling the truth. You'll see that in a minute. It came about when it was time to shut the, this is what she said to him. It came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. She lied. That's a lie. I do not know where the men went. That's a lie. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. That's another lie. That Rahab told me. Verse 6. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. So Rahab, he hides these men. Why does she hide these men? Because she knew who they were. She knew why they had come. Let's read verse 8. You got to stay with me on this now. Don't go to sleep. Now, before they lay down, the men, the Israelites, the two spies, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. There we go. Now, notice this. Rahab the prostitute. I know that the Lord has given you. How in the world does she know that staying in Jericho? Yeah. See, God had already made a promise to Joshua, to Moses, to the children of Israel. And this harlot knew about God's promise. How do you know? Let's see the promise. Go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Stay with me. This is God talking to Joshua. And he tells Joshua, I'm going to start in verse 3. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. Just as I spoke to Moses from the wilderness and from this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. Pull up the map that I have. I went off and left my pointer across the street. Pull up the map that I have right here. This is a microcosm. You see Abel Shittim. That is the Shittim we're talking about. That last camp where they sent out the spies. You see the Jordan River up to the top before you get to Jericho. The spies were sent to Jericho to spy out the land. He says, all the way I don't have on this map the great river Euphrates, but it would be up north. All the way up north, it's not on here. It'd be all the way up north. From the great river, the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea, Lebanon, Joppa, all of that's Lebanon. All this land, guess what, Joshua, is yours. It's all the children of Israel's land. And I have given this land. Your feet that walk on this land, I've given it to you. That's what he told them. A lot of land. That is the promised land. We've heard that terminology, the promised land. Go back to the text. He says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you forsake you. Be strong and courageous only. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to it from the right or the left so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Now God made this promise to Joshua, and he made this promise to the children of Israel. Rahab is not a Jew. Rahab is not under the Jewish nation, but Rahab knew about the promise of God. She knew she was outside of God's favor. She knew she's a prostitute, but she knew about God. Amen, somebody. Let me say this before I continue. See, most of God's promises are conditional. Not all of them, but most of them are conditional, and they are also dual. In other words, when God makes a promise, it is dependent on how we receive God's promise and how we respond to God's promise. There are several examples. Having been made perfect, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, he became to those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. See, God, listen, everybody in the world has an opportunity to be saved. Everybody. But that is a promise that God has given us. God is the originator of salvation. And if we obey him, we will be saved. That's God's promise. But also in that promise, it also implies that if you don't obey him, if we do not obey God, we will not be saved. Yeah. It's conditional. And it's also dual. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Scripture says. God makes promises. I love God's promises. Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But then further in that text, he said, but those of you that's on the left, Lord have mercy. He has a place prepared for those who are on the left. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. Yeah. And then there's some promises that God makes that he just makes a promise. It don't matter how we act or not. It's going to happen. Amen. Every time you see a rainbow up in the sky, according to Genesis chapter 9, every time you see a rainbow up in the sky, it's God's covenant with every living creature on this earth that I will not destroy this world by water anymore. It doesn't matter how we act, God just made the promise. When God says something, it's going to happen. Amen. Lord, I love it. That's why I serve God. God is consistent. All throughout the Bible, when he prophesies, when he sends his servants and he gives instruction, it comes to pass, and it came to pass, and it can. Now, do you know anybody that keeps every promise? Yeah. Even with people that we love break promises, don't they? I'll be there for you. Yeah, right. I do what you need me to do. People don't show up. People lie all the time, don't they? It break promises all the time. And sometimes it's disheartening when people break promises. God don't break a promise. Yeah, he does not break a promise. Go back to your text, if you will. So God made this promise to Joshua and the children of Israel. Rahab says, I know, verse number 9, I know the Lord has given you the land. Notice, then look what she says. And the terror of you has fallen on us. Now God told Joshua and children of Israel, every place your foot lies, it's going to be yours. And you're going to claim it. And so that means, now that's God's promise. So his promise is dual. Because so if God going to give you the land, he's going to take it from somebody else. Amen, somebody. Now I don't have time to go into the history of all the pagan nations and how many of them they did what was right in their own eyesight. And how there's evil all on the earth, and you say, well, why did God take land? I don't know all the reasons why he did that. But I do know this, he did it. Yes, and Rahab, she understood. He said, the terror of you has fallen. And look at what she says. And that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before. He said, Rahab said, look, listen, y'all. Everybody know y'all. Everybody know what you're doing. Everybody know. He said, everybody over in Jericho, we've heard. We know what's going on, and we are scared. Notice this, verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. You know the story of Moses part with his rod and the Red Sea parted? You know, now we were not there. All we read about it. Now, even Rahab, they were not there when God actually did it. But don't you know when something like that happened, people go talk? Amen, somebody. And then listen, all Pharaoh and his whole army were destroyed. But you know what? The people that were back home where Pharaoh was from, they know all those soldiers didn't come back home. And those people are talking to their relatives and look, they killed all our boys. My daddy, my uncle, my cousin, they all dead. And where they went, they told the story. Look, I don't know about you. I look at them folk from here. You better leave them folk alone. They are marching to the promised land. And they said they're going to claim their land. And look here, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm scared. And they heard about it. Notice this, a lot of people heard about it. Rahab heard about it. And notice this. Now, even now, Lord, time won't allow me. But they cross. Now, see, the children of Israel, they haven't crossed the Jordan yet. See, we read about when Moses, they crossed the Red Sea. But in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Joshua, chapter 5, the children of Israel, they're going to cross. A miracle is going to happen just like it happened at the Red Sea. They're going to cross over on dry land, cross the Jordan River. All those millions of children of Israel are going to do that. It says that we've heard the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out, and we heard what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and to Og. When you get time, go to Numbers chapter 21 and read about Sihon and Og. These would be two of the giant kings, these mountain men, these big tall soldiers who are all giants. And see what the children of Israel did. Rahab said, we heard what y'all did to them giants. And how you utterly destroyed them. Everybody was scared of them, and y'all defeated them. We heard about it. Whom you utterly destroyed. In verse 11, when we heard it, our hearts melted. No courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the notice is what Ray, this is the prostitute. I'll tell you something. You know, we need to be careful how we treat people. We need to be careful how you. There are some folk who are down on their luck right now. There are some folk who are destitute right now. But many of them exemplify more faith than we do sometimes. Many of them pray harder than we pray. Many of them, one thing we know about God, God looks at the heart. Not only does he look at the heart, God knows the heart. Yeah. So we need to be the last person, you know, talking about and down in folk and stereotyping people. Scripture went out of the way to make sure that we know that this was a harlot. Now, you'll see in a minute that she didn't stay a harlot. But she is a harlot. Amen. Listen at it. Listen at it. Listen. It says, our hearts and no courage remain in any man any longer because of you, for the Lord our God, for the Lord your God. He is God in heaven, above and on earth. But you know, it's amazing how, you know, there are a lot of different philosophies in life. And a lot of people that believe a lot of different things. But every now and then, God manifests himself. He makes himself known. And you know what? When God makes himself known, God makes himself known all the time. He always is known. But every now and then something happened, and you can't give credit to nobody.
that nobody but God. Because man, notice this, man is totally out of control. There is nothing you can do about it when God gets ready to move. But be still and be quiet and pray to God. Amen, somebody. See, and Rahab, she said, he is the God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Yeah, scripture says, it's now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly. That's why she was lying to her meat. Now, you know what? She already a sinner. Can you, when you're a sinner and unsaved, can you get any unsaved? you know, when you out in the street, you live by the rules of the street. And what she's trying to do is she's trying on her own will to get in favor with God. That's what she's trying to do. She's trying to say, look here, my only hope is to get on God's side. In her mind, that's what she is right now. And she's desperate. She knows that, look, our time is short. These men come in to spy the land, so next they figure to destroy us. And I need to get right with this God, is what she says. Listen to this. And she says this. Now, therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I've dealt kindly with you, that you will also deal kindly with my father's household. Notice, you think a prostitute, you know, wouldn't really care that much about her family. You know, she on her own. She's taking care of herself, and she's selfish. But you know what? Some people have hard times, but they still human. Make bad choices, but they still love their mama. They love their daddy. They love people. They're just trying to make it. I'm not making an excuse for them. Just the real world we're living in. Yeah, some of you are out there. You can stand up if no, that's don't stand up. She says, deal kindly with my father's household. Give me a pledge of truth. And spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all who belong to them and deliver. This sound like a selfish woman to you? She said, listen, then spare my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sisters, and all they people, they wives, they cousins, anybody in their household, please spare them. Does anybody in here want your family to be saved? So the men said to her, our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours, and it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land that he will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Oh, that'd be some beautiful words for Rahab to hear. That had to be some beautiful words. But you know, sometimes words are not quite enough. You know, because some people will lie to you, won't they? Some people tell you anything to be safe. They're there in Jericho, and you know, these men could be conning Rahab, couldn't they? Yeah, and sometimes we do that. We lie to get what we want till we get what we want. And we don't follow up what we say. Go to verse 15. Then she let them down by a rope through the window. Now it's time for them to escape. For her house was on the city wall. A lot of these, every detail in the Bible is there for a reason. To give us more faith, to make it more believable. A woman named Caitlin Kenyon, she was several excavations. I know at least three excavations have been done on the city of Jericho. One in the 1800s, early 1900s, and then Caitlin Kenyon, 1950, I believe in 52 to 58, she did these excavations on the city of Jericho. You know, this is for the naysayers. Some people, oh, the Bible, just old book, and all that stuff, it ain't real. That was just a fantasy city. She discovered the city of Jericho, discovered the ruins of the walls of Jericho. Just mud, and it discovered that the wall had to have just caved right in. Just confirm what we already know. those of us that have faith in God and believe the word of God. And so it hit, and this also confirms this fact that that she said, "Well, girl, how could a house be on a wall where the wall wasn't just a skinny wall like that? It's a wide wall. And the house was right there on the wall. Probably why they went to her house. It's close to the gate. Scripture says, it says, well, she let them down by a rope through the window." She was an innovative, creative woman. She said to them, "Go to the hill countries so that the pursuers will not happen upon you. And hide yourself there for 3 days until the pursuers return." You know, when you're in need, you need to listen to folk who know what they're talking about. You know, sometimes, no woman can't tell them. Sometimes she can. Yeah, many times she can. You know, my wife, I tell you the truth, my wife, you know, she always giving her advice. And she gives it to me all the time. You know, sometimes I get impatient. Sometimes I be like, "You know, I don't need you telling me everything." Because she's going to offer it, and she sure going to offer it. But sometimes she'll tell me something, or she'll say something, or offer something, and it just be right on time. It's just right on time. And I think about how stupid I would have been if I didn't listen to my wife. Yeah. And I just made a point because, you know what, some of us, our pride is our worst enemy. Our pride. Can you imagine them spies, you're blessing right there in front of you. She gave him every detail. She said, "Now look, I already told them where to go, told the men where to go. I'm telling you, go 3 days, stay there three, don't leave." She gave him the perfect advice. "Hide yourselves there. Then afterwards you may go on your way." The men said to her, "We shall be free from this oath to you, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this accord." Now, she gave them some instruction, and then they gave her some instruction. See, God's promises are conditional throughout Scripture many, many times. See, we want all God's blessings, but we don't want to do nothing for God. He said, "Look here. Now, if you don't do what we say, we're not going to follow through on what we said." And told him, he says this. "Unless when you come into the tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down." He said, "A scarlet thread, that would be a red color. And gather to yourself into your house, your father and your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. It shall be about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear." So she told him to tie the scarlet cord around this one. All your people, get them in the house. God's blessings are always in the house. Amen, somebody. Yeah. What do you mean, Brother Gary? Even in today's time, the same spiritual lesson is taught throughout God's word. See, today the church is God's house. See, the body is the church, and the church is the body. And the Bible says, "For the husband is the head of the wife," Ephesians chapter 5, "as Christ is the head of the church," notice this, "and is the savior of the body." Now, if you're here this morning and you're not in the body, then you're not saved. As simple as I can put it. And notice this. And when you're not in the body, he told Rahab, look, all your people, get them in the house. Now, how do you think Rahab got her people in the house? And notice this. Because she did. We're going to read it just before I close. We're going to read it. She got everybody in the house. How do you think she got them in the house? She told them the story. Mama, Daddy, two men came to the city from Israel. You know who Israel is? Yeah, we know who Israel is. They came to spy out the land because they're coming. They're going to destroy everything in the city. Everybody. Mama, Daddy, brother, Ricky, Mama, my brothers, Vin, Anthony, Michael, Regina, Mama, Daddy. If y'all want to be saved, you better be in my house. It's told a story. Where salvation is. Well, I'm staying in my house. Well, you won't be saved. No, you need to get in there. Whose house? Rahab's house. That's the place. Listen to what else it said. Listen to what else it said. It says, according to your word, so be it, she said. So she sent them away. Notice this. And they departed. Notice this. And she tied, now I love this. She tied the scarlet. When she tied the scarlet right on a window as soon as they left. That would have been me. I said, look, give me some red coat. I don't care how long they go. Some red gonna be in my window. Amen, somebody. Well, you don't have to put it in there right away, Gary, Brother Gary. Well, if you want to be, I want to be saved. Anybody want to be saved in here? What are you saying, Brother Gary? Today is the day of salvation. And sometimes we just put off, we drag around, we procrastinate, and we just get, thank the Lord. Well, you know, I got time. I'm young. I'm not but 16 years old, and I know the Lord not going to take me. Excuse me? Are you praying for these 12 young men who I understand that they're in a rescue operation right now trying to save these boys? Are you praying for them? We need to pray for them. Lord have mercy. They've been in there all of those days and hope nothing happens to them. And I was just, you know, you thank God. Did God make good on his promise to Rahab? Well, we got to read that before I close. I got a few more minutes. The men had a part to do. Rahab had a part to do. Notice this. God gonna do his part. See, that's the constant. See, in our minds, you know, we need to look in the mirror. And you know, we need to ask ourselves, am I doing my part? Because God is solid. God is proven. If God doesn't have anything to prove to us, he's already done everything that he said he was gonna do. Oh, have mercy. Rahab, see, and you can understand some of you, see, this is strong faith. Rahab didn't know nothing about, all she knew is what God was doing, and I need to be on God's side. And God saw this woman's heart, recognized her need, and sent somebody. There's some individuals who right now who are not saved right now. But once they hear the message, once they hear the good news, they will run with salvation farther than many of us will run with it. And tell more people about it. So in the meantime, in the between time, after the men left, time goes by. And Rahab, I know she communicates with her mom, her dad, her brothers, and her sisters. And listen, quite a bit of time went by. We're in Joshua chapter 2 here. But the children of Israel, they have not crossed over Jordan River yet. They have not done it yet. And you'll see, and when they got to the Jordan, God gave them instructions. He says, the men, they were to carry the Ark of the Covenant. He says, when you get there, walk around the city one day. Walk around it 2 days. Second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day. Notice this. Rahab sees it all. She's watching all this. How you know that, brother? Because she's on the wall. She's already been told what she sees. She sees the men coming. And she got all of her folk in the house. When did she have them in the house? I don't know, but they better hurry up and get in that house. Well. Let's see God delivering his promise. Let's see God delivering his promise in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Joshua 6, 1. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out, no one came in. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. With his king and valiant warriors, you shall march around the city. All the men of war circling the city once. You shall do it for 6 days. And so it's like when Joshua and the children of Israel were coming up, he said, look, you see they're scared of you. Everything is closed down. Everything is on lockdown. These valiant men of war are inside, but they're shivering. He says, now walk around the city. You would think that,
you know, when the children of Israel were just walking around the city, you got these warriors, they got all of these
weapons, they walking around the city. You would think that they would just throw something down there and kill them right there. You know why they didn't? Because of God. See, God can hold a person's hand. I don't care how much power you think they have, how much might you think they have, God can stay anybody's hands. Any of our enemies. God can make them silly before our sight. They don't know what's going on. And they might have been sucked in and say, oh, you know what? They're not going to kill us. They just going to pray for us. And they didn't do anything. Rahab's watching all of this. Go to verse number 21. Verse number 21. As we try to bring this lesson to a close. On the seventh day, they marched around the city 7 times. The horns blew, the trumpets sound, the walls came tumbling down. The men of Israel walked straight ahead through the city. Verse 21, they utterly destroyed everything in the city. Now this was Joshua and his men's part. God told him. If you read further in the chapters in the text, you'll see that God told him, he said, I want you to kill everything in the city. Well, Gary, why did he tell them to kill everything? I don't understand all the reason why, but he did. Both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword. Joshua said to the two men, there they go again. It's amazing. Scripture don't name these men who had spied out the land. See, as long as we on earth, God always has something for us to do. Amen? Listen, we're not sideline spectators who are going to watch the show and slip into heaven. Amen, somebody. Well, you know what? I just want to come to church. And I want to just enjoy the sermon, take my communion, and I want to just go on, be all, I'm just go on home. Don't let that be your attitude. Don't let that be your attitude. I understand life can beat you down. I know people are crazy and people, look, I don't trust nobody. Well, can you be trusted? You think about that. You don't trust nobody? We all crooks. We earthen vessels. Now, we all warped a little bit. Amen. You aren't amen. If you don't amen, you probably... No, well... I mean, I know, but you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what nobody's been through. God got something for all of us. We're the lights of the world. God wants everybody to be saved. There are some individuals that only you can touch. Only you. But yeah, I can't. They don't know me. Some folks don't like it. I don't want to talk to no preacher. I don't want to talk to no preacher. Send me somebody else.
Go into the harlot's house. God's delivering his promise. Bring the woman and all she has out of there, as you have sworn to her. So the young men who were spies went in, brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all she had. They also brought out all her relatives and placed them outside the camp of Israel. Praise the Lord. God made good on his promise to Rahab. And the brother read in your hearing, Joshua 6, verse 25, and Rahab remained with Israel all of her days. She was a harlot. She was a prostitute. She, when she got with Israel, she wasn't no harlot no more. God didn't allow that. What we are is not so important. What we become is all important, especially when God get through with us. Amen. God has made us some promises. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. That's what Peter, the apostle Peter, said. And he reaches and he reaches into the future. He reaches into the present and he reaches into the future, even into our time. He said, for those who've received a faith of the same kind as by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It means, he says, the faith, and the scripture says there is one Lord and one faith. And so there's only one faith system whereby we receive the same type of faith that Peter and the apostles and Paul and all of them received. He says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Anybody want some favor? Anybody need some peace? He says grace and peace. And then there's a peace that passeth all understanding. And then the passage that many of you know and heard, seeing that his divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and excellence. And then verse number 4, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Divine means, is a word that means not of this world. That's God's nature. If we have the same type of faith that Peter and the apostles had, we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like those men, God made a promise to Rahab. God has promised something to us. Question, you think God going to make good on his promise? All throughout the Bible, he does. Over, how many more examples do we need? If he can do it for a prostitute, a harlot, I think he can do it for a bald-headed man named Gary Smith. And he surely can do it for all of us. I believe God's word, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Every word of it. Everything that God has said, I believe it with all of my heart. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Rahab, she believed, just like she believed everything the men told her, and she hung on it until they came and got her. If you hear, you're willing to repent of your sins. And obviously, Rahab changed her life. If you're here and you're willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're here and you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins, God will make good on his promises. Yes, sir. And so when you're baptized, God adds you to his house. Scripture says there's one body. There's one spirit. Even as you're calling, one hope of your calling, there's one Lord, one faith. There's one baptism. There's one God we serve, who's Father of all, above all, in us all,
and we're gonna serve God until we die. But if you're not in his house, there is no say. Anybody in here need to be baptized into Jesus Christ and added to the church, the church that his son died for, that you can read about in the Bible even today, to receive. That's the only way you're going to receive his promises. And if you're here today, you need to come right now. If you're here and you need a prayer, we need us to pray for you, come right now as we stand and sing the song.
Have you been to Jesus for your cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you fully
trusting
in his graces?